of listening to all this stuff going on about you know, the whole, when the Peyton Manning stuff came out about the HGH, and he's, you know, he's using this and people are upset. What? Why are you upset? Do you really, really care?
It's the future!
Down and Distance.
On WGNRadio.com.
You had one of those life-changing experiences last week when you walked out of the movie theater.
Oh.
Talk about that a little bit.
Tell the truth. I went to see the movie. I went to see Concussion with Will Smith, and brilliant, brilliant movie. He did an unbelievable job. Listen, I've been around the game of football for a long period of time, and I've seen stuff, I've heard stuff, I've had concussions myself. I'm dealing with stuff on a regular basis of trying to understand, you know, how these headaches and why they affect me so bad at certain points of the time of the year. Just, it's a crazy deal. And I'm watching that movie, and it all kind of just sunk in and made sense at that moment that as human beings, we are not built. I don't care how big you are, how fast you are, how much you can bench press or how much you can squat. As human beings, we are not made to play the game of football. It's not.
And it's a beautiful game.
It's a beautiful game.
Beautiful game to watch.
To what we do on the football field, we're not. It's not normal. It is not normal at all. You're not supposed to be banging your head, getting your head slapped. The way our bodies are built, it's not supposed to happen. And to watch guys in that movie, where it sunk in the most of is that I knew Dave Duerson, and I knew him very, very well. And not how he was portrayed in the movie. Listen, everybody in his family got upset about that, and I get that. I've had that situation with me where, you know, a book was written about my dad, and that's not him, and you want to go and fight back. But in the grand scheme of things, that stuff that was written and all this stuff, it elevated my dad to a whole new level of my dad was actually a real person. You know what I mean? He wasn't this person who just you watched on Sundays that would just be non-human. Mm-hmm. And came out and played every single day with his hard hat and his lunch pail. But he was a human being. And I watched the movie, and to see guys basically go crazy. Guys were going crazy.
Yeah.
Not like just, oh, this is, I'm my head's hurting. They were losing their minds. Driving on the wrong side of the street, crashing into big, huge, semis and all that stuff. I mean, voices talking to them. It was a weird deal. And I sit back and I had to think about it in the sense of, you know, playing the game. And everybody says, knowing what you know now, would you still do it? Man, I love the game of football. I can't tell you guys. I know you guys watch the game and you guys love it. I can't even tell you. It's like loving one of your kids. Mm-hmm. How much I love this game. I love playing the game. It was so much fun. I would probably still do it even knowing what I know now. But for further generations.
What about Jay?
Yeah, like my son, I walked out of the movie theater and I told my wife, I said, you know, I don't think I want him playing football. And she was like, huh? And I'm like, yeah. I mean, it's got to stop. You know, things have to change. In a family, I mean, everybody, there's traditions. We all have these traditions. But to me, I will never force him to play. I'm not going to tell him you can't play. I'm going to show him everything that's out there. I know for sure he won't play until high school if that's the case. But if he told me before he was born, I said, man, if I have a boy, he's got to play, man. I mean, now, if he doesn't tell me, if he says, Dad, I don't want to play, it's not going to crush me. I'll be fine with it. Because, man, this game is different. And when you see guys like Dave Duerson, and you see guys, you know, like Junior Seau, who are in some ways losing their mind, and feel like the only way to deal with this is to take their lives. Mm. And they're not doing it where they're just, I mean, they're not doing it to and putting a gun up to their head, but they're shooting themselves and killing themselves so you can have their brains to study. I mean, it's a crazy deal, but they're helping the process of figuring out what all this is going on in the brain. And, you know, I was never mad. This is all about, it has nothing to do to me. This has nothing to do about the NFL, right? So I'm not throwing shade at the NFL. This has to do with the game of football. I don't care what level you're talking about, college, professional, arena. We all knew what the movie was about. It's like seeing somebody that you know go through something and you go, sheds a little bit different light on it. And so that's where I got so upset of listening to all this stuff going on about, you know, the whole, when the Peyton Manning stuff came out about the HGH and he's, you know, he's using this and people are upset. What? Why are you upset? Do you really, really care? Because there's a moment in the movie, right, where I'm watching one of these dudes from the Pittsburgh Steelers, a former player, the guy that drove on the other side, and he's going crazy.
Mike Webster.
No, not Webster. No,
Justin. I can't pronounce his last name, but Justin Skrill.
Yeah. He's going crazy, right? And then they keep flashing from him going to the fans, sitting in the bar drinking like, yeah, come on. I'm like, you really, really care? Or do you just care that they're not – honestly, I feel like fans care when they're not on the football field.
And we don't know. We're not conscious as fans sometimes how we operate and relate to athletes. And I share with you when you shared this with me, if you've never been behind that curtain, you really need to hold your tongue.
Yeah.
Like if you've never been in that locker room and had to suit up on a Sunday and fight through multiple injuries, and you're doing it because you're trying to improve life, you're trying to make sure that mom and grandmom are taken care of because you came from the gutter.
Bro.
You know what?
When they interviewed Ed Reed a couple weeks ago, he said he'd do it all over because his family now is able to live.
He'll sacrifice all that.
He said, I would absolutely do it again.
There's a point in the movie, and if you haven't seen it, people haven't seen it, I'm sorry, but there's a point in the movie where, is it Alec Baldwin? Right?
Roger Goodell?
He was the other guy, one of the other doctors.
Okay.
You know what I mean? He was talking about all the medicine that he's using, and I'm sitting there, and as he goes, man, you don't know what happens on Sundays when you, these medicines, and he's naming all these medicines, and all those medicines I've taken, except for maybe two of them. All of them he's talked about I've taken with needles the size of sticking it in just to be able to go back out for another half. And I'll be honest with you, I wasn't thinking about the fans. I'm thinking about my guys who are going to bat with me, who are out there playing because I can't even move. Nights where I'll never forget being in my condo in Miami after the Florida State game, and feeling like my collarbone being broken and never feeling the pain that I felt before because played another game after that and sitting in there outside on my balcony actually thinking about, like, this pain is too much. I'd rather not – I can't deal with it anymore. I'm like, I'm on the balcony thinking, like, having crazy thoughts because I'm in that much pain. Like, cats who just talk, when you talk about the curtain, it's a different deal, man. It's a totally different deal when you're in this. I've never had those thoughts. You guys know me. I'm like one of the most happiest dudes in the world. I give you smiles. I give you hugs. I give you dap. But for me to be thinking about, like, life because I'm in that much pain.
Yeah. And it's crazy because as fans, we look at fans and we want the players to go out there and be gladiators.
We do.
Do whatever you have to do to win this game. But then behind the curtain, when they do whatever they have to do to get on the field, right, to entertain us, then we have a problem with how they do it. Then we want to get on our soapboxes and preach integrity of the game and talk about HGH, how could you do this? Peyton Manning, your career is now tarnished. What are you talking about? What he's doing, if he did use HGH, he used it to heal.
Yeah.
Point blank.
You know what? I guess I look at it differently. I mean, I played football in high school. That's as far as I'm going to go. But part of the reason why it only went that far is because I had health problems. Like, I still got a back problem from to this day.
Yeah.
I can't throw a football 5 minutes for 5 minutes. I literally, after the five-minute mark, that's it.
Yeah.
My shoulder's done because I play middle linebacker. And, you know, leading with shoulder. I literally can't throw a football for only five minutes. You know, you've heard my wrist.
Yeah.
I just popped it a minute ago.
That's gross.
Yeah, you've heard it. You know what I'm saying? But the way I played the game, you know, being how tall I was at the time, I was only like 5'3". I didn't get a growth spurt till like my senior year. So I felt like I had to throw my body around. And I remember getting kicked off the football team my junior year. And at first I was mad. But when I got home, I was like, man, maybe that's right. But then when I got to college, and I guess the college coach talked to my old high school coach, and he was like, man, so are you going to play? I remember playing volleyball at my aunt's job picnic. And my back is bad now. It was probably worse then because I didn't know how to treat it or do anything with it. And I remember playing volleyball, and the next day I couldn't get up. And the coach called. He was like, man, so you going? I was like, nope. And the coach was upset.
Yeah.
So when I looked, and I saw concussion too. And was I enthralled in the movie? Nah.
I already knew what was coming down.
Like I said on Facebook, I was expecting, like, when they were saying, you know, the NFL was trying to keep him, I thought they was going to go a little bit dramatic and show, you know, ways that they was really, like, trying to hold him back. So I said on Facebook that I thought the movie was boring, but I get it. And I think it's something that needs to be watched because, as JP said, I got a son. And I remember, like, my son was throwing around a football this weekend. And my thought was like, yo, he's probably going to be, you know, he's fast for being a kid. You know, father, he's running around. Yeah. You know, he's fast.
He's mapping it out.
I do.
And he's one. And I'm already on it. But at the same time, I feel the pain that I feel now. And I didn't make it nearly as far as JP or as any of those people in the NFL or any people that's dealing with it. But I wonder how many people who just made it to that point are looking at that movie and saying, I deal with those, and I wonder if I'm affected by it.
My question for
Hold up, real quick. It's going to change. That movie is going, it shed light on a situation that's going on. So, you know, everybody wants to think this as an NFL and, you know, again, this is an issue of the game. It has nothing to do with just the NFL. I know the NFL, everybody's upset. It's the game of football that is, it's different. And so it's going to change. And what's going to happen is parents are going to see this movie, like myself, like everybody else in here, and they're going to start making decisions. You know, maybe let's think about this. It's going to be a conversation more of, do we let Jimmy play? And I think you especially look at moms and talk to moms about the situation. A lot of moms who I deal with from my camp and talking to them, they love these kids playing because we don't have helmets on at camp. We're just out there in shorts. But football, I hear more and more of these parents and these moms saying, no, Bobby's not playing.
The ex.
My sons are 25 twin boys. I would not have let them play as early, knowing what I know now.
The business of football, moving forward.
We have had an increase in Super Bowl viewership in this country. Like the movie Concussion said, they own a day of the week.
Yeah.
I think from my perspective that they show the wrong people in the Concussion movie. They put the spotlight on the wrong league. The spotlight needed to have been on the numerous kids that suffer injury, that die from youth sports. And that's the issue.
Yeah.
We have an existing lawsuit that was filed a couple of weeks ago in the state of Pennsylvania about that governing body and the injuring of high school students in that state. Also in the state of Illinois, there was a suit that was just dismissed recently last year against the IHSA. And we have laws in many states around the country about youth safety, and particularly football, and they just don't go far enough to manage, treat head injuries, and there is also no governing youth helmet standard in the country. And so you talk to moms, these and the kids in the camp, and they're not wearing uniforms. But when we talk about other individuals that are trying, like Ed Reed getting his family out of the hood, they're willing to go through substandard helmets in not far enough legislation, lawsuits that don't necessarily have a ripe issue to sue on. They are going to play football because and the complexion of football may change as a result of moms leaving the sport. Hear me out, JP.
I hear you, but let's you just you made a point though that let's keep it real because we're all in here and we have to.
We're all black.
Yes.
Yes.
And so we look at our the demographic, right?
70%.
I don't as much as I think it might change when you're looking at other demographics, but that's not going to change. So I feel like we're still going to have kids from the hood.
Yes.
Get an opportunity. That those numbers aren't going to change, but maybe we see the other, you know, maybe more white kids not playing the game.
You see the socioeconomic demographics of the game are going to change.
It's going to change.
That means that I can take the responsibility of having my son play the game and be okay with watching it and then putting my $1,550 bet on daily fantasy sports.
Yeah.
Because that's going to remain legal as states get around that. It's all together. You know, I don't have to feel the responsibility of gambling on players' bodies, but I'm okay watching it on the football on the television screen because it doesn't affect me personally or my family. And if I hear about you getting in trouble with the law, I can judge you.
Yes.
If I see you using HGH, I can judge you because I'm better than you. But really, I'm sad about my own sorry life, and I can't take my legislature responsible, and I will make sure I get my PSL, you know, and I'm okay. This game is going to survive because the economics is supporting it. 6% increase of advertising, 15%, sorry, of the prior to this year in the National Football League. The league is getting richer. Team values are skyrocketing. We're going to have a team in London probably, the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Hence why Roger Goodell still has a job.
That's why he still has a job. Mm-hmm. And his job is more secure now than it's ever been.
I know.
It's ever been.
In spite of everything that's taking place.
Guess what? People aren't really talking about the concussion movie anymore now that it's out.
Well, you know what? I mean, and that's where I'm glad I have you here, X, because I need to understand this and because it's been one of the things that is – I've been thinking about since I've seen the movie, even before the movie. How does this work with the league?
Mm-hmm.
Use the
name, likeness, and images.
Yeah. How mm-hmm. How were they able to use the shield in the movie? Mm-hmm. How were they able to? They had to buy the video footage from the NFL, right? That they used in the movie. Did the NFL do that because they were like, listen, if we don't do it and we put up a fight, it creates more of a news story. If we just give it to you and we go ahead, you're paying us for that. Mm-hmm. You're paying us for that. And then more than likely after the movie goes for a couple weeks, people are going to forget about it.
The combination of both, JP. Now, you're talking about broadcast rights, airing the games and things of that nature, and trademark rights, using the shield. And so with trademark rights and using it, you cannot use that to promote the movie Concussion. You've seen all the movies about the commercials about concussions, or all the billboards. You never saw an NFL logo.
No, you never saw that.
You never saw a team logo either.
You never saw a team logo. But you saw they use that. So you have to pay for that footage. I saw footage in like guys catching passes and Adrian Peterson in the commercial.
Right. So you saw Adrian Peterson,
in the commercial, he's like running the end zone and flipping the ball, and then they show somebody from the Bears when they played at.
When did that commercial air?
They showed it was a touchdown. It was a touchdown. I can't remember
the Bears when they played at Illinois for those years. There was a touchdown catch that they showed, but you don't see any logos.
Right, exactly. So that's why. So the whole using trade. So you're looking at broadcast rights, and then trademark rights. So the broadcast, you can't show the games and things of that nature. And then there's also some fair usage with how they use the footage and all that. But you can't use the footage, the trademark of the NFL to market the game. And that never happened. The market, the movie, that never happened. So if and even when they had some preliminary stuff, they had it out, they had to pull it. So you cannot use the trademark in National Football League, any of its 32 teams, to
it
market
in,
the movie.
It was in the movie basically twice that I saw. So there's where you visibly, you saw the shield.
Right. Not what I mean in the movie.
You can use
showing
that.
The movie itself, that's not marketing the movie.
But you can use that.
You can use it.
Wow.
There's a distinction between broadcast rights and what you can do with trademark rights.
Okay. I had no clue.
So marketing the movie, showing the movie. So put it like that.
All right, I get you now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it made sense because
when you have economics and you have a socially bred hunger and desire that will continue to be there because of the lack of education, other social things that have been taken away in the inner cities around this nation, you are basically breeding what you need to fill the spots in that league.
It's that simple.
That's why it would never die.
No,
it's like having a draft without even having to draft kids. You're creating those warriors. You're creating those warriors. And because of that, the National Football League will always thrive because there will always be a kid out there that will have to watch his mother work two jobs and suffer with multiple kids that's going to say, "Mom, I'm going to change this for you."
And as long as you have some guy that wants to get together with his buddies, get $8 pitchers, bucket of wings, get away from their wives, and watch NFL, it's that simple.
We're talking. I had this conversation yesterday on the show, on my show at, during a break, and this one of our producers, Jordan, and floor director Jordan was talking about how, you know, he doesn't like college football. Like, it just, it's not, doesn't excite him. He said, "So what do you rather watch?" He said, "You know, baseball and basketball." I said, "That's cool." I said, "But listen, since I've known you," I'm like, "That's cool. You watch all that." I said, "But since I've known you, all you ever talk to me about is your fantasy teams. You got four of them." I said, "Do you have a fantasy baseball team? League?" "No, I'm not in one." "You play fantasy basketball?"
"No."
"No," I said, "but you're in four fantasy football leagues?" It's like, man, it's just the game is fantasy football is taking the NFL to this to a whole new level. I'm looking at TV, that's me.
to piggyback on what you just said, and I'm looking at what happens in football and at the same time, like, I'm just realizing what you're saying and looking, like, at the decline of boxing. I'm looking at the upswing of MMA. And I'm looking at the demographics of both and looking at the demographics in the NFL and like, what you said right there hit home. Because growing up on the west side of Chicago, where I grew up on Chicago Avenue in Laramie, you either played the sport or you did something you ain't had no business doing.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing that you, either way it go, it's like either way it go, you're going to have to put yourself in harm's way in order for you to make a way for your family, or at least that's what you're driven to think. Because, and I know JP probably is going to get on me for what I'm about to say.
No.
No, you are, because you play soccer.
Oh.
Play soccer.
Okay.
You probably could have still been playing soccer right now if you kept with it. I played FIFA for the first time.
It's a great game.
Great game.
Great game.
For the first time, my little brother come, you know, he gets FIFA for Christmas, and I'm looking at my little brother like, "Yeah, FIFA?" He's like, "Yeah." It's like, "You know what, let me play it." And I'm playing, and I'm like, I missed out on this.
All those years.
But then I'm also thinking of me at Prosser High School, playing and practicing football, and right next to us, it'd be a soccer game going on. And we ain't never seen no black kid on that.
No.
We ain't never seen no black kid on that. Matter of fact, honestly, Jared, not saying this because I know you, you're really one of the first black soccer players I ever knew of in my life. It's like you see on the front page, I'm like, are we playing soccer? But in where I'm from, we don't know that. Listen, we barely even know baseball.
There's no economic solution.
There's no economic solution
in soccer.
No. So I can even imagine, like, when we play, you know,
hold on, you just brought up a good point, and then you look at it, right? There's nobody to identify with?
Nobody.
So who do you look at? You don't know nobody's name, but in basketball, Steph Curry, LeBron.
You know everybody by their first name.
Yeah, you know everybody by their first name. I mean, almost every sport, maybe, I mean, baseball, it's kind of changing, but every other sport, you know. Soccer, there's no – who do you know?
Yeah, because I played baseball. I played baseball when I was coming up, and I stopped. I was playing baseball and football. I was like, you know what? I'm better at this, so I'm going to stick with this. But I transferred to Lions Township High School for my senior year. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, you know, then you learn lacrosse. And then you find out that, like, people like – players like Jim Brown was one of the best college lacrosse players ever at Syracuse Jeez. University. You know what I'm saying? You start learning all of these other things. And I go back, you know what I'm saying, to my neighborhood, you know, man, you out there at that school, I bet y'all doing this. And I'm like, man, well, we playing lacrosse in gym. What's lacrosse? And I'm looking at all of these things, and I'm just looking how we programmed.
Should have came to Oak Park, man.
I probably should have.
I played lacrosse in high school.
But it's like we're
both. Look at the school you went to, though.
Right, yeah.
Blaine Gabbert played lacrosse in high school.
Hey, man.
Options.
But we have those options, man, and I'm just looking at, I'm listening to everything that y'all saying, and it's changing my thought process on this, because I'm sitting there like, man, coming up, you knew football, you knew basketball. If you played baseball, it was all right, that's cool. But then at the same time, it's like, you know, what other options do you have if you're trying to get out and you ain't trying to go in this area, you're trying to go there? But then when you play
if you play
football, you know what I'm saying, you're putting yourself in harm's way, and next thing you know, you could be 40, you know what I'm saying, and you all broken down, you're walking with a limp or whatever, you know what I'm saying, or you can be, you know, driven mad by some type of disease.
You're a 10, 11 year old. Yeah. We're conflicted. You know, at 10 or 11, if I can survive 7 to 8 more years, I can be a millionaire by the time I'm 19.
Yeah.